Hey everyone, I'm Whit Ingram. I'm the digital marketing specialist here at Q, and today we are talking with President Jake Spencer. We are talking on mindset. So to begin with, what is mindset and why is it such a big deal?
Mindset is can probably be attached to anything you do in life. There's a probably it comes down to the philosophy, but mindset's probably your thinking. I think a lot of people will get in the mindset and think it comes down to toughness, but really, I don't think it's just toughness. It's probably the philosophy of how you do things, the standards of what you have, because the standards of what you have and how you think probably determines what bugs you, what distracts you, what you're into, what your passions are. So I think mindset's much more than just never quitting, never giving up. And we're talking Q Sciences, I think, from a very broad perspective. It's probably impossible to cover the full realm of mindset in the business world. It's something that you develop and it kind of evolves and matures over time, because the same things that used to drive you crazy, you know, a year ago probably don't drive you crazy anymore because you've kind of grown out of that or you're more mature. So what I think mindset in Q is probably the mindset of really learning how to balance the business for most people for the very first time. Probably balance the heartache or the letdown or the disappointment. Balance the stagnicity that you're going to go through as a business owner. That growth, non-growth phases. Mindset of like really having a different perspective and becoming successful, and how it goes into your job that you still have, whether that job or career calling is an actual career job. It could be something at home, full-time parent. So it's something that's probably going to evolve a lot.
Going off of that, in this industry, why do people focus so much on mindset?
I have been known to make some controversial statements from time to time. So I'll make one now. There'll be the only one on this podcast, I promise. Most people focus on mindset in our industry because it's the easiest thing to focus on, because it doesn't force the new person to take any action with someone else. Meaning they don't have to talk about what they're involved in. They don't have to invite them to try a product. They don't have to invite them to take a look at the opportunity. They don't have to invite them to meet anyone. They don't have to invite them to go anywhere. So you can like stick to yourself. And so people love hearing philosophy. They love hearing mindset. And, you know, it's a kind of an easy thing. That's why so many people who can't do business go into coaching. And the majority of what they coach on is mindset, even though they've really never built a business. Like, it's interesting if you go and research, even some of the top people who are being asked to speak at these seminars, they've never built a business, but yet they give the greatest advice on it. But it's not really advice on business. It's advice on mindset, because they've never really built, scaled, hired, fired, invested money, reinvested money, been in litigation, all those crazy things. So it's like, oh, just never give up. Don't quit, buddy. So that's kind of where they go.
It's just an easy way.
That's the only controversy I have on this podcast.
Okay. So if you were to teach mindset, what would be the worst way to teach it?
I think the worst way to teach mindset is people think it's like a bookend. Like, here's all you know in the beginning. Then come to convention once in a while and learn some more. And that end of the book. Like, to me, I think the greatest mentors in my life, there's always been a continual conversation about the additional mental capacity or space that you got to open up to keep progressing. And there's difficulty in what I just said, because A, you have to be consistent in learning mindset. You can't just put it off. But B, finding someone who can teach you, who is at those levels you want to be, is very difficult, especially in our industry today. There's very few people in the industry that we're involved in right now that are actually doing it. A lot of people in the past who have done it, but the industry's changed so much that those philosophies no longer pertain to it. So I think where people mess up the most is they don't think of it as a continual communication line of learning it all the time. Like, oh, I went to this training, I learned it for 4 or 5 hours, or I went to an Anthony Robbins thing, and now I'm good. No. And the second part about why it's so difficult is because most mindset isn't learned by reading or listening to a speaker. Most mindset is learned in action-oriented things and trial and failing. That's where most of it's learned. So the thing is, and that's why a lot of people get away with charging people money for it, is because they can just tell them happy answers. Like, I'll tell anyone, even if it's your career, it's like, the way you're going to learn how to be tough mentally is when I tell you no. You bring me an idea for your digital marketing and I'm like, I don't like it. Well, you got to be tough mentally to go create more things. And then when you're creating more things, you learn that through trial and having to dig deep, you find some awesome stuff. But if you gave up right before the finish line, you would have gotten to what it is. And some of the greatest things that Q Sciences employees have given me, it was after a disagreement. How do you teach that? Go read a book. That's not going to teach you anything. So I think the hard thing of why people mess up in mindset is they don't attach action or an exercise to what they're teaching.
I feel like every time that I've failed, that is where my mindset is really challenged for the most part.
And the idea or expanding it and thinking of new angles?
Mm-hmm.
Or both?
Yeah.
Both?
I mean, it's kind of both. It just depends on what it is. But really testing on like my strength, I guess, mm-hmm. and really like really going back to that mindset of like how I can get through it.
Yeah. I could, yeah. But what you just said is like trial failure. You were in an action oriented thing. Mm-hmm. You weren't sitting in a seminar.
Right.
You weren't watching someone on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You were doing something. Mm-hmm. Like you were moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's awesome.
So if
we can end the podcast.
Right. Yeah, that was great. So in my business, how could I utilize mindset to help it grow?
Okay. Well, I think there's a couple of items. Like being a good person is all about you. Like your own personal mindset, your own personal philosophy, you're growing that, doing those things. But the hard part about this business is the hardest person to lead is yourself. So a great leader, though, they've already learned how to lead themselves. And leadership is all not about what you're personally accountable to. It's being the best out of other people. Being a good person, it's really about me, I. Being a great leader, it's never about me and I. It's about getting the best out of other people. Two separate things. And we've also seen controversially is there's great leaders who are not great people. Because you can be a great leader and not be a good person. So the dichotomy of that is, you know, for me, I think, before I answer this, repeat the question again so I don't take this down a road that would be too deep.
How can I best utilize mindset to grow my business?
Okay, you utilize. I'll focus on that. If you and I are in the business together, and I'm helping you build a team, and I'm there with you, I think the best people that teach mindset have been there before. I know how you're feeling. I've experienced this. I've built this team like this before, and I've had people like that quit as well. I think when you're utilizing mindset, it's from personal experience. That builds an immense amount of trust, a bridge of hope, those things. I think where mindset, where you're not utilizing it with your group, you're using it together, leading people to figure it out on their own, extends people's journey to what their end, to their end goal. So if you're really with people and you can speak from experience because you've done the do, and you can speak from it and say, hey, it's okay. And people are justified to feel the way they feel. Hey, wait, it's okay to feel like this. Maybe you feel like a loser or you feel like you're not good at this. I felt the same way. A couple years ago, I had a team quit. And they went to a different company, and guess what? That company went out of business. Like, I don't say that to tell you that that company they want to go to is going to go out of business, but it happens, mm-hmm. right? It's like marriage, right? Like one of the closest people in my life, when I was having a marriage crisis about 10 years ago, had been in the same crisis 10 years before that. And I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. I was about to explain what I had done, what was going on. He's like, Jake. And he went and got his wife, came in the room, and they sat in front of me and said, we've been where you are together. I'm like, and what he taught on that mindset philosophy of behavior patterns and thinking, it resonated because it was relatable. If you've not gone through the trial, you've not had to test your own mindset, you probably shouldn't be teaching it. Hence why I don't like a lot of the self-help or the, I don't know what you even call them anymore, life coaches.
Oh, yeah. Who haven't gone through anything or the same industry even.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So what do you hope for with Q Sciences when they teach our corporate and ambassadors to cover mindset and launching presentations and events?
What I hope for?
Mm-hmm.
Probably speaking from experience the most. That's what I look for. That's what I really relate to and resonate with. You know, you can tell a lot by how detailed someone talks about some of their trials, tribulations, setbacks, like even in when you interview people, right? Like we learned that whole thing from Elon Musk. Like when you interview someone in your company, you tell them what's the biggest problem that you solved. Can you go into detail? And then when they go into detail, in fact, I bet you I asked you this question.
You probably did.
Yes. And you can tell, you know, if someone's full of it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think what I look for in someone who can really muster up that strength and really represent Q, and we can partner with them, is someone who can speak from experience and lead people through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone doesn't get on their stage and say, hey, I had this company one time, I had this employee this one time, or I had this leader this one time, to me, I lose focus on what they're saying pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But that's just me.
I feel like when they tell like a specific story too, it can be very humanizing and connecting at the same time too.
I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it with children all the time when your kids are struggling, because right now it's tough to be a kid, and you talk from experience of what you went through, and it could be a similar thing, but not the exact thing. Your kids want to listen and they want to know, like, oh my gosh, my dad struggled with this too. Mm-hmm. You know?
So what is the most impactful mindset speech you've ever heard?
It was probably one of the first ones I ever heard in the industry. I was 21 years old. It was Detroit, Michigan. There's an arena there called the Cobo Hall. Joe Cobo was a boxer. It's right on the river next to Windsor, Canada. Like this will tell you, I remember all the details. I had kind of given up on the industry in my first couple months, but I had registered for a convention. And so I wanted to go to the convention because I wanted to see what Detroit was like. And there was a bunch of people and... I was single at the time, so I'm like, maybe I could find a cute girl, whatever. I don't know. I was dumb, 21 years old.
Yeah.
And I needed to go into the convention to get some money from people who had stayed in my hotel room because I needed to get back home. And I went in there, and the guy who was in there kind of talking about the mindset needed to be long-term was a gentleman who had built some pretty substantial businesses and helped other people run some big businesses. And I walked in there, and it was very impactful because the story that he was telling at the time was about a gentleman who had gone through a pretty traumatic experience, and he had helped recognize attributes of that experience and turned it into some of his strengths in marketing, like very simplistic things, marketing and creating a brand, not, you know, show them your scars and show them you're tough, that type of mindset. It was basically, hey, you've learned these skill sets because of this trial. And that was crazy to me because I was still going through a major trial in my life of having a speech impediment and not being able to really communicate effectively my whole life because of I stuttered so bad. And this kind of hearing that and what he had done and hearing those tools of how that guy was equipped, it didn't help me overcome my stuttering, but it got me started. And that's all I needed was just a start. It wasn't the answer, but it was good enough for me to take the first couple steps. And once I'd taken the first couple steps, I figured out how to be resourceful enough to keep finding the answers. I don't think you're going to learn everything, the beginning, middle, and end of any mindset talk or speech, because it just needs to be good enough to get you started.
Right. You need that push.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was just a good push for me. Mm-hmm. He said it in a way that that my parents hadn't said before. And all the counselors and speech therapists and all the people I'd worked with my whole life had never really approached it from, and it was just what I needed to hear.
So how can people get better at teaching about mindset?
results.
Well,
I think we, as a society now, like we've gotten away from the results side of things, and everyone has an opinion and everyone wants to change every company and how things are purchased and sold, and they have an opinion on what's going to happen. They have an opinion on politics and worldviews, but no one has experience. And I think that one thing that I really like is when someone comes with me a data of how it's been effective or how they've gotten results from it. And I really respect that. You know, when someone comes to me with an idea from the field or in my personal life and they say, hey, I want to show you something. Here's what I've been experiencing because of it. I tend to listen more. And so I think people are going to listen to you, what you have to say, and you can inspire people by how you live if you have results.
Yeah, by showing actually how you overcame it and not just saying it.
Yeah, but also I think it's okay to show what's happened since you overcame it. Like, you know, bad example would be, I probably shouldn't use that example because it'd be controversy number two on the podcast. So I think of something else. Okay, money management. Like, people can talk about being good in business and making a lot of money and kind of fake really knowing about money. But if you're really open, you really talk about how you learn how to manage your money from simple tasks and things of where you put your money and what about taxes, and you can have the proof to do it. And it's like, hey, here's what's happened, but also here's how my life is different now because of it. You know, every year at tax time, I've done these things and look what's happened. So if you can speak from experience of, here's the mindset shift that I did, here's the action oriented, and guess what? Here's a little bit of a fairy tale. Because of this, this is what's happened in my life. I think that's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Okay, last question. How can mindset improve my life as a whole? I feel like we kind of already covered that, but that specifically.
I think there's a personal accountability factor that all of us have in everything that we do. People can talk about how aware you are. And I think your awareness level really leads to your philosophy on how you approach anything. And so how can it help me? Well, first off, the moment you change the way you think about anything, how you view it changes. I mean, I remember when I first started, I'd get very discouraged with any roadblock at all. And I gotta tell you, like, I say this as humbly as possible with my family and Mark and my friends, but like, some of the biggest hurdles we've overcome in business and other things we've done have led us to making the biggest amounts of money in our field and have the biggest wins. So in the beginning, I used to run away from any trial or challenge and say it didn't work. But then I realized, if you're not out there solving things every day, you're probably not gonna make it really big. In fact, most of what you do every day is solving a problem. Mm-hmm. And so the moment my mindset shifted and I realized, okay, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and there's gonna be things I've gotta go solve. It doesn't mean what I'm doing doesn't work. It doesn't mean what I'm doing is not ever gonna work, but there's gonna be things in there that I'll find that's gonna make our company and myself personally better. It's the same thing in a marriage. Like, if you wake up every day and you're so discouraged because there's a situation in your marriage, you're probably not going to connect on the level you want to anyway. Because through the trial and through the communication of uncomfortable talks, that's where the true bond comes from. If it was all rosy and sunshine and everything, I don't believe anyone would even do it. Mm-hmm. Name one thing that's easy in your lives that came easy that we have any respect for.
Right.
Or we protect.
One of my favorite quotes is, learn how to fail forward.
Yeah.
Like, keep going.
Yeah.
Because failing is a part of it.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is, like, you saying that reminds me of that talk in 2004. I remember he was talking. It was kind of like the end. It's kind of like the hype up pump session to close his training. But he said, as long as you fail, if you're going to fall down, as long as you can fall down forward so you can just look up and see where you need to keep going, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, interesting. But it's so true, because you're going to get knocked down and your philosophy has to evolve and change.
Right.
Every employee in this office will get knocked down. Every ambassador will get knocked down. And sometimes the more you get knocked down, the more successful you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you had one piece of advice to give people to lead with today, what would that be on mindset?
Don't get overwhelmed with it. Don't spend too much time on it. And realize that it's bits and pieces. And your mindset's going to be weak at times, so don't beat yourself up. Like sometimes, you know, I'm a big journaler, as everyone knows, and like one of those powerful things of journaling that I think is way, not even spoken about, is the ability to look back years or even months or weeks of how a situation can keep coming up in your life and how you've dealt with it now compared to then. Like, it may not even mean that the situation isn't entirely over or it's not still negative, but your emotional reaction to how you've gotten better. Like, I love that in a journal because you can measure your growth in it. And I think sometimes like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. Like, I want to quit this business. I'm not strong yet. Look, there's times I don't want to own Q anymore. And on the outside, people think, oh my gosh, that guy must be loaded. He must love. No, there's days. I just had a moment like 20 minutes ago, and some of you probably heard it. It was not pleasant. It was not great. I'm not proud of that moment, but it needed to happen. And the ramifications of what's going to fall with it, everyone will figure it out in a couple of days, needed to have happened 7 months ago. I did not like it. And it's not one of my finer moments. I could have handled it better, but it needed to be done. You're not a loser and you're not a leader if you have a weak mental moment. It's about knowing where you were, knowing where you are currently, and knowing where you're going.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yes. Thank you guys for putting these things on because if it helps one person, it's worth it. Thank you.
Thanks, friends.